Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me. Don't try to fool me, beat you me, either amuse me or lose me. I'm getting hungry, peel me a grape.
Welcome to another week of Whitley on Wine. You know, sometimes I get into the music, Diana Krall, so much, I almost forget to speak. I go into this wine trance. Anyway, I'm joined in studio today by Michelle Meter of the San Diego Bay Wine and Food Festival. And we're going to talk a little bit, say hello, Michelle.
Hello.
We're going to talk a little bit about chocolate and wine.
Two of my favorite subjects.
chocolate can be a tough combination with wine, and you have at your San Diego Bay Food and Wine Festival, Wine and Food Festival. Just got to keep getting that right. Mm-hmm. You have an educational seminar set up with Michael Antonorsi of Chual Chocolatier. And Michael, you're joining us on the telephone.
Yes, I'm here, Robert. How are you?
How are you,
Michelle?
And you're going to talk to people. You're going to have a little group attend your seminar, and you're going to show them how to pair chocolate and wine. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're also going to go a little further than that. We're going to start first with showing them as much as we can about how chocolate is made and where it comes from. We're going to do a little bit of a tasting origins and percentages so that to pave the way into pairing finished confections mm-hmm. with the great wines that we're going to have there.
Now, I have a question for Michelle. Michelle, you guys came up with this idea for this seminar. Did you do a lot of work with Michael tasting chocolate and wine just to make sure he's got it down right?
No, but we're going to be doing that soon, right, Michael?
Yeah, but we have been doing this already for 6 years.
I wanted to have you here in the studio so we could do one of these little tastings with chocolate and wine here. What, Michael? What are the elements that a consumer, a wine aficionado or a chocolate aficionado, needs to consider when thinking about putting a chocolate with wine?
Okay, well, as you mentioned, pairing wines with chocolate could be tricky too, and we have a set of four guidelines that we like to push forward. And the first one is to keep the sweetness level of both elements close. If you have a very bone-dry wine, be it a white wine or a red wine, it's not going to pair with chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be too extreme of an experience.
Yeah,
if you have a fruit-forward, round-tanning wine that is has maybe even some residual sugars in it, then you have a more chocolate-friendly wine.
Right.
So that would be the first guideline. The second guideline would be keeping the white wines with milk chocolate or white chocolate. The third one would be keeping the red wines with dark chocolate. And the fourth one is dessert wines with any chocolate.
Dessert wines with any chocolate. Now, there are a whole range of dessert wines.
That is correct, too. And they all have beautiful complexities that can pair and play off by contrast or by complement with different types of chocolates. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you have nice round port wines
sure.
or a Bagnuol-style wine, you can have, it's like adding fruit to a very nice dark ganache chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have a nice port wine that pairs by complementing a nice almond hazelnut praline by sharing those nutty notes and adding some fruit from the port wine. So you can go that route. If you go to the extreme, or you go to more like a Pedro Jimenez sherry, which is really, really intensely sweet, then you're breaking the first rule, which is you almost have a sweeter wine than the chocolate. So you get really oversaturated in your palate, and you don't really have the best of both worlds.
Right, and those wines are very sweet. Well, I'm curious, I'm delighted that you brought up Bagnuol, because that's a wine that a lot of people don't have experience with, and it really does have, if you just tasted it on its own, you would think of chocolate.
Exactly, and it's a port style wine, but it's so round. Usually, the tannins in the mm-hmm. in the Bagnuols are really soft, so you don't really have aggressivity in any edge of it. So it is really a true invitation for chocolate, especially dark chocolate.
What happens if you, let's just say, you you have a lot of people who will say, well, have a chocolate dessert after dinner with Zinfandel or with your leftover Cabernet. Because, you know, we can say, yes, Banyuls, port have some essences of chocolate. You know, you can taste mocha in those wines. And you can also get hints of mocha in a Cabernet Sauvignon. But why would a sweet chocolate dessert not work with your leftover Cabernet Sauvignon? And what would it do to the wine? What would the wine taste like?
Well, it's not really that it would not work. It would not work with the wines that you have if you happen to have a very dry wine. Because mm-hmm. you could have a nice Syrah or a nice Zinfandel that is full of fruit, and it's very round, and it almost has a sweetness to it.
And it has some residual sugar perhaps.
And then you will have a red wine that would mm-hmm. work with chocolates. And then you can have a chocolate dessert that, for instance, would be, or a chocolate that we have in the framboise, for instance, which is very red wine-friendly bonbon, and it has a layer of raspberry jelly and a layer of almond hazelnut praline. So that raspberry brings even more fruit notes out of those red wines, so they augment the whole experience. So also, depending on the type of dessert or chocolate that you have, will or not pair. So if you have a very sweet dulce de leche style chocolate, it's definitely not going to work with your red wine leftover. But if you happen to have a nice Chardonnay that you'll be carrying through the meal, and the Chardonnay is not too oaky, it's not too dry, it's buttery, and it has a nice round body to it, you might be able to fit in a praline or something that will work with it too.
Now, you sent some chocolates down here. I'm going to ask Michelle, that chocolate that with the raspberry, is that in here?
That is the one you have there too, which is one that's sort of rectangular with a little line diagonal in the top.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have to try that.
But now we need the wine. I didn't bring the wine to go with this. How is it?
So you're going to have to come to the
it's delicious.
To the class.
Mm. Now, run this by me again. I'm having this delicious chocolate. And so a Syrah or Zinfandel with a little roundness and a little, maybe hint of residual sugar?
It will work, definitely. We have, in our stores, we sell, for instance, a very nice little Cabernet that is actually much bigger than its price. It's a McManus Cab mm-hmm. from Central California. Mm-hmm. And its characteristic is, it's even though it's a cab, it's very round, and it's almost feels sweet. If you drink it alone, you feel like, wow, this cab has some sweetness to it. So that cab also works well with that bonbon. But definitely Zinfandels, a nice Syrah, even some Pinot Noirs that will have less metallic mm-hmm. and more of a bigger body would hold to that bonbon very well.
Well, you know, one of the things that you will find in Zinfandel, and especially some California Cabernets now, is you'll find higher, more elevated levels of alcohol. And I don't know about this McManus. I don't know if it's, like over 14.5% or whatever. But a lot of Zinfandels are up around 15.5%. And winemakers will tell you that when you get the alcohols up to that level, it will give the wine an essence of sweetness, even if it doesn't have very much residual sugar. So is that sort of what's work coming into play here?
Well, you do see that tendency, and I've been watching it also because, you know, at the end, alcohol will be sugar in your body. So
you had to remind us, huh?
So, yes, you know, they somehow get to make these wines to taste and feel a lot bigger than they might be if they would have a lower percentage of alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it does work well when you get those bigger wines that are offering you this higher level of alcohol with the chocolate. Normally they feel rounder and less edgy.
You know, I've been going back and forth on this wine with chocolate for years and years with friends and people who like to have a little chocolate at the end of a meal and finish their wines. But I always think of red wines, and a couple of times you've mentioned white wines with chocolate, and that's new to me.
Well, you know, the white wine range is actually quite ample in the sweeter wines. You know, you have a whole range of Rieslings, Gewürztraminers, and lots of those wines that maybe not too popular in the United States always mm-hmm. have nice floral and citric tones to it. You know, very flowery and fruity, some of them. Like Muscats work really well with chocolates, too.
But you're saying white chocolates.
I'm talking mostly milk chocolate, not in the bitter side. I believe that the dark chocolate, the cacao solids in chocolate, work in a way like the tannins in the wine. So if you have something that has bitter edges to it, it'll just make the contrast with the white wine a little bit too much, and the acidity of it will just come out. And
now, when you say that, when you talk about Gewürztraminer and Riesling, and I would throw in there Pinot Gris, I think of Alsace, because Alsatian wines tend to have more body, a little more residual sugar in them. They have a little more fatness to them. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes, you know, the body weight of both is also quite determinant in this, because you might have very light white wines that tend to be more citric that you would just keep them for your fish or your salad. But if you have more of those buttery, heavy body white wines with a hint of sweetness, they'll work wonderful with some milk chocolate that has hazelnuts, almonds in it, or maybe with some caramel. Sometimes you enhance these caramel notes on a nice Chardonnay or a nice Riesling with a milk chocolate that we have, the Milao, which is a milk chocolate with salt, butter, caramel. So you can play with those in that range, and they were really nice.
You know, I just had a Lucian Albrecht Gewürztraminer, and as you're talking, I'm thinking about that wine, and it has, it's not really sweet, but it has the essence of sweetness, and it has just this exotic sort of honey note to it.
Right.
And I would think that this would work.
Exactly. Then you have suddenly maybe a chocolate that has a honey note to it, too. And then suddenly the honey note, which might be a little more in the background, will just come out and flourish a little bit more to the foreground.
What about a wine, let's say an aged Chardonnay? Because, you know, when a Chardonnay ages, it takes on some of those honey notes, and it gets a little rounder, a little more, maybe a little matterized, and so it gives it a sherified sense of sweetness. Would that work as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the one you want to look for, too. You know, you don't want to have the really young, oaky Chardonnays. Mm-hmm. But that one definitely will work with, you know, we have a variety of chocolates. So, yeah. We have one, for instance, with passion fruit. That's something that's very difficult to pair, but it has paired real well with, like, Madeira wines. But mostly those nutty notes will come out with, you know, a nice hazelnut paste type bonbon. And you might even cross over the line with some dark ones that might have fillings that would, you know... Sure. Yeah, it's a whole experimenting thing. At the end, you know, it's in the trying also where the fun lies.
Michael, we're going to have to take a break, but we'll pick this up on the other side. Whitney on Wine will continue with Michael Antonorsi and Michelle Meter following these messages.
Now, back to Whitley on Wine.
Slowly.
With your host, nationally syndicated wine columnist, Robert Whitley.
Okay, we're back, and we're chatting with Michael Antonorsi of Chual Chocolatier. You're in Carlsbad, right, Michael?
Yes, we have. We make everything in Carlsbad. We have four stores in San Diego, starting from UTC and all the way to Carlsbad.
Terrific. Now, I want to speak to you just a little bit about dessert wines with chocolate, because I think that's the traditional pairing that most people would think of. And then I would like you to walk us through a little bit the seminar that you plan to do. And I'll have Michelle Meter tell us a little bit about how people can sign up for the seminar and what it costs and what the date is and the time and the location and all that sort of thing. But you know, you mentioned Manuel, you mentioned Port. What are the traditional pairings that you would think of? And do you have any specific wine recommendations or brands or ports, or whether it's tawny port or vintage port, or, you know, just vintage character port that you like to put with your chocolates?
Okay.
I know that's a big question. We covered a lot of territory there.
Fun thing about also pairing wines with chocolate, that sometimes it comes down to a particular bottle, not even a particular type of wine or not even a particular brand, because that bottle just happened to be at the right temperature with the right openness and everything, and suddenly everything flows real well. So now the dessert wines, they tend to be a little bit more, of course, they're designed for that sweeter side of the world. And port wines, some of them could be very tannic, so they could be a little edgy, even though they're sweet. Mm-hmm. But if you find port wines that are very nice and round, for me, those port wines are giving all this fruit forwardness to the experience. You know, the plum notes and those big dark fruit notes that they pair so well with a nice, rich, dark chocolate like a ganache or even a dark, solid chocolate.
So, if I'm following you, here's what I would suggest to people: if you're going to take a vintage port with your chocolates, take an older vintage port so that the tannins are somewhat resolved and the wine has rounded out. Otherwise, go with a late bottle vintage port or a vintage character port. You know, like Graham 6 grapes or something like that. That's not going to be as tannic.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you can play also with the tawny ports, and the tawny ports, they bring a lot more of the nutty side to the port wine. So you can play with pralines, for instance. I think the crossing over from the port to the nutty chocolate mm-hmm. is a great pairing also. So that works also, in that case, by complementing each other really well. Another dessert wine that works great, that it's not very much used, is the Madeira wine, for instance. And the Madeira, which somehow got the fame of being a cooking wine, you can get some really complex and expensive Madeira wines. Mm-hmm. And they have a nice level of acidity that plays off some centers that also have acidity. For instance, we have mm-hmm. a passion fruit caramel that it is our most popular filling, and we have had always a very hard time pairing that bonbon until we found this Madeira, and it is, you know, it doesn't have to be too great. It's a 5-year Cossard Gordon Madeira, mm-hmm. and it works really, really well with the passion fruit caramel, which is just to emphasize that acidic characteristic of the Madeira.
Now, I would caution people, Madeira comes in several different sugar levels. You know, you have dry, you have medium dry, medium sweet, and then very, very sweet. So the 5-year-old Cossard Gordon is probably going to be medium sweet?
It's a medium rich, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And, for instance, other wines that are a little more obscure, but I think are one of the best pairings we have ever encountered, is the Italian Recioto.
Oh, yes.
And that wine is just fabulous because it is, in a way, similar to the Bagnoles. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, in the dessert wines, the best two wines that pair with chocolates are the Recioto and the Bagnoles.
The Bagnoles, yes.
And then, of course, the port wine range is way, way broad spectrum. And you do have a lot of stickies and a lot of port wine-like port-style wines from California that are beginning to show a lot of complexity and a lot of layers that would also pair with the chocolates.
Now, Michael, we only have about 5 minutes left, and I want to talk somewhat about the seminar that you will conduct. So, Michelle, why don't you jump in here and give us the nuts and bolts, the facts, what, where, when, how much, and how can people sign up?
Sure. Michael's class is during the week of activities for the San Diego Bay Wine and Food Festival, and information on that can be found on our website at worldofwineevents.com. Michael's class is called Arousing the Senses with Chocolate and Vino, and it is on Thursday, November the 13th, and it's from noon until 1 p.m. at the San Diego Wine and Culinary Center. Now, I have to say that as of this morning, there were only 10 seats left open for his class, so there's very limited availability left. He's a popular guy. The tickets are $45 per ticket for that.
So Michael, I have to ask, what is the attraction? Is it the chocolate or the wine? I'm going to say that a lot of people are going to be there because they love chocolate.
I think so, too. I think chocolate is definitely the focal point. Wine is much more available, mm-hmm. but the combination is just fantastic, too. So we're actually putting two of the best things together. So we're definitely going to have a great time, and I'm going to really try to go through explaining how they can do these chocolates at home, some of those mm-hmm. ganaches that they can pair with a nice bottle of Bagnoles or port wine or Recioto that they might get later on.
So if someone wants to sign up and attend, what can they expect? You're going to be working with them for an hour. Can you lay out the program for me?
Yes. Ideally, the initial is going to be somehow getting in tune with how chocolate is made. Very few people know how much labor and how much complexity is behind getting the chocolate from the cacao tree all the way to what chocolate would be used for. And then after we do that, we're going to have a little bit of general knowledge, understanding on the percentages and the origins and why one chocolate style tastes different than another one. Sort of like the origins and different grapes in wines.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we're going to now go to another level, which is the confection. So it's using the chocolate as a raw material, how to make something that we can use. And from there, we're going to do a chocolate and wine pairings, which takes the finished confection to a higher level, which is now a social event where we can actually pair and share with families.
Now, how many different wines will you pair that day?
Well, that is still to be defined. We're going to try to pair up with a winery that wants to help us with this. Mm-hmm. And depending on how the wines go, we'll see. It's going to be definitely plentiful.
Okay. Now, I'm sure that you've done seminars such as this in the past. So what are some of the more exciting pairings that you've been able to show people?
Well, that takes me a little bit off the subject, but we do these pairings very regularly. We do it in our cafes. Mm-hmm. You can check on our website and find out. And we do also private events a lot in hotels and things like that. And we have done a lot with beer, too, which for me was a pretty amazing pairing to discover that beers can actually also pair fantastically with chocolate. So the wine pairings, I had just a recent discovery. We do every month a new chocolate, which we call the Dare to Be Different bonbon. Mm-hmm. And this bonbon for this month is called Harvest Time, and it is full of pumpkin seed praline with apple, and it's just very earthy and grassy. And I was not aware that it would pair with any wine. And it's dark chocolate, but it's a truffle, so it's very nice. It's got walnuts and pecan nuts and everything. And I just had it with the McManus, which I just had it because somebody did and told me, you have to try this, this is great. And I did. And it worked incredible because of the earthiness of that bonbon, the grassiness of it. It just paired so well with the, and it just brought out a little more of the body of the Cabernet. So, you know, you discover every day something pretty amazing in this world of wine and chocolate pairing. So I can only recommend that people do this very often because it is definitely a fun experience.
Now, how often in your restaurants, in your cafes, do you schedule these kinds of seminars?
Well, we do public classes in our factory, and every class finishes with a wine and pairing event. Mm-hmm. Then we also do private classes, which are set for groups of no more than 20, and they're in the factory where a hands-on truffle making and also a wine and chocolate pairing session that takes about 2 hours.
Can people go to the website and find out
They can go to the website, and they can also contact us directly, and we can, because if they're going to be custom-made and private, you know, we can custom organize it according to the needs of anyone.
Let's give them that website. It's Chuao Chocolatier, and then Chuao is C-H-U-A-O, chocolatier.com.
That's correct.
And phone number, can they call you as well?
They can call here, too. This 760-476-1668.
You know, we only have a few seconds left, but I want to thank you, Michael. And I look forward to meeting you someday, and good luck with your seminar, Arousing the Senses with Chocolate and Vino at the San Diego Bay Wine and Food Festival. And I want to thank Michelle Meter for stopping by and helping with the Whitley on Wine show this week as well. That's all we have time for. Until next week, this is Robert Whitley saying ciao.